Life has a way of throwing unforeseen events and new opportunities our way. At Glover Orndorff and Flanagan Wealth Management, they are dedicated to putting your interests first with a truly personalized approach. They are there to bring confidence to your investment planning choices. Whether you need income production for retirement, 401k guidance, long-term investments, or other financial planning needs, they'll focus on the establishment of a plan tailored to your life's priorities. For more information, call Bill Orndorff, partner with Glover Orndorff and Flanagan Wealth Management today at 321-344-1202. 321-344-1202. Investment products and services are offered through Wells Fargo Advisors Financial Network, LLC. Member SIPC. Glover, Orndorff and Flanagan, LLC is a separate entity from Wells Fargo Advisors Financial Network.
Sicario's Gun Shop. Buy, sell, or trade firearms. Purchase Class 3 NFA items, custom builds, gunsmithing, and cleaning. Liberty Gun Safes. Sicario's Gun Shop fully supports our military and law enforcement. Visit online at sicariosgunshop.com or in person at 5325 North Wickham Road, Suite 105 in Melbourne, Florida.
Sicario's, where you come first for your second.
Nothing less than overt acts of aggression against the American people and their rights.
Exercise your rights in a safe way.
Stupidity to think that someone hell-bent on violating the law against murder will magically be stopped by a gun control law.
Politicians that infringe on our God-given rights. He calls them out. He's not here to play.
Yes, we are locked and loaded on the Shooting Straight Radio Podcast. This is the program all about firearms, the Second Amendment, and all things pertaining thereto, with a heavy emphasis on the Second Amendment. I am Royce, your host, still reeking of gunshot residue, toxic masculinity, and a faint yet wildly tantalizing whiff of the cologne of my people. That would be hops number 9. You better believe it, baby. We have a lot to talk about. I want to remind you first about my friends out on Ear Care of Melbourne. If you have poor hearing like yours truly, they are the people to go get an audiogram from, and they will hook you up with the hearing aids that you need designed to address your hearing issues. Go see them out there at 7777 North Wickham Road. Tell them Royce Bartlett sent you. If you have not been paying attention in the Second Amendment news, there is some skullduggery afoot by this Biden the Bolshevik administration, and they're really cracking down on what they call unlicensed dealers. Mm-hmm. And they're addressing and vigorously enforcing, as they say, their crackdown on these unlicensed dealers. Now, I don't know if you realize it or not, but if you recently sold any of your guns in a private sale without conducting a background check, I don't know if you know this, but you are now considered to be part of the black market. Yes, the underground criminal market. That is who you are lumped together with. The United States DOJ, the Department of Justice, so-called, released a third volume of the National Firearms Commerce and Trafficking Assessment, or the NFCTA. And in that assessment, Mr. Merrick Garland makes these comments. They are very telling. He said, "This report makes clear that black market guns sold by unlicensed dealers without a background check are increasingly being found at crime scenes. Okay, first of all, if you're talking about guns that were truly stolen and trafficked or bought through straw purchases and trafficked, they would not be called unlicensed dealers unless you are dyslexic, I don't know, morally or mentally dyslexic. Why would you call traffickers unlicensed dealers? Well, because they want people who sell guns at gun shows and gun collectors and people like that, they want them to understand that they are now considered an unlicensed dealer. And if they don't get a license to sell a gun or two, or as some Democrats say, up to five a year, yeah, you're an unlicensed dealer if you sell five of your guns in 1 year. What they're saying then is you're an unlicensed dealer, and if you don't get a license, you're going to be considered a trafficker. Well, you kind of already are if your guns are considered to be black market guns, if you think about it. So, and it says they're increasingly being found at crime scenes. I'd like to see the stats on that. But anyway, he said, under the Bipartisan Safer Communities Act, the Justice Department has proposed a new rule to clarify when gun dealers must get licenses and conduct background checks. The department is also vigorously enforcing the new provisions Congress passed in the act to prohibit illegal gun trafficking and straw purchasing. And Mr. Merrick Garland is not lying. They have indeed been vigorously enforcing these new rules here. And you can just ask the Malinowski family. We'll be talking more about them in the second half of the program and the horrors that were inflicted upon them by the ATF in a raid upon their home just a couple of days ago. So, yes, they have been vigorously enforcing this stuff indeed. And what they tried to do was make an example out of Mr. Malinowski so they could point to him and say, see, you want to end up like him? Well, then you better comply. You get a license, and when you get your license, you have to tell us all the guns you have, and they have to be kept in a logbook with all the serial numbers. And pretty soon, what has essentially happened is all of your guns have just been registered under the guise of licensing you as a dealer. Yep, that's exactly what is going on. I've covered this before, and I think you probably listened to the program, and that's exactly what they're going to do. They're going to have full registration by hook or by crook, and it doesn't matter to them. The whole focus is background checks, background checks, background checks, background checks, until they have universal background checks, which means no gun may be transferred from one person to the other without a background check. Well, first they had to demonize people who sell guns at gun shows, even though they're the most law-abiding demographic on the planet, and most of their customers are too. That doesn't matter. They're out to make an example of law-abiding citizens, because that's what criminally-minded federal agents do. When they're too cowardly to go after real criminals, they will inflict the peaceful, law-abiding public instead, and then they can point and say, look, these are the trophies of our success, like they recently did to the Malinowski family. Mr. Merrick Garland continued. He said, this report reminds us of the urgency of our work, and I'm grateful to the extraordinary professionals of the ATF who put their lives on the line to help keep our communities safe and whose tireless work is responsible for the most comprehensive look at America's crime gun data in over two decades. Well, you say that these ATF professionals put their lives on the line to help keep our communities safe. Would that be a reference to the Malinowski murder? That's right. I called it a murder. I'll explain why in the second half of the program. But I want to throw that out there and give a tease, because this thing is getting hot already. That was just a prelude to today's press release from the Bolshevik Biden administration. And here it is from USA Today with an article titled, Taking on Black Market Guns. There it is. You are considered to be part of the black market if you sell guns without a background check. That is the point they want to drive home and inculcate in the minds of American citizens. If you sell a gun without a background check, you just made a black market gun sale. Follow me. Taking on black market guns, Biden administration issues new rules. In other words, they've dictated law from the office on unlicensed dealers. An article by Nick Penzenstadler from USA Today. He said the Biden administration will take steps this week to crack down on unlicensed dealers selling firearms that bleed into the illegal market. I got news for you. Guns from multiple sources bleed into the illegal market because a lot of guns are stolen and sold on the illegal market. Some are straw purchased and sold to criminals and that bleed into the illegal market. What they're making this sound like is if you sell guns without a license and without performing background checks, you are helping to facilitate gang violence, murderous violence, gun violence. Now, yeah, even licensed dealers. Guns from licensed dealers end up in the underground market all the time. The article continues, under current rules, licensed dealers must perform background checks and log the make, model, and serial numbers of guns sold. But hobbyists and infrequent traders don't. Well, that's right. Nor should they have to. Justice officials say too many guns are being sold under the so-called gun show loophole and internet loophole. Well, first of all, no such loopholes exist. They never have. People who make private sales at gun shows are not breaking or skirting any laws whatsoever, nor sales over the internet. When someone buys a gun from the place I work at, we have to send that gun to their dealer, the purchaser's dealer. That dealer has to send us a copy of their FFL, their license, before we will ship it to them. Once that dealer has that gun, that dealer performs the background check at point of transfer. That's how that works. This is a lie being propagated, of course, by the communist media. What do you expect? It is USA Today. The new rules more clearly define who should join the 80,000 other federal firearms licensees and abide by existing law. Well, first of all, not all 80,000 FFLs are actual retailers. A huge number of them are manufacturers. So again, this is half-truths and other things being used and numbers being used to create a false picture and drive a false narrative, okay? It says they abide by existing law. The expected result, at least 20,000 additional gun sellers who will now be required to perform the instant background checks that will stop them from selling to felons, domestic abusers, and other prohibited buyers. Now listen, this is from the article. Even a single firearm transaction may be sufficient to require a license according to the rule. Okay, did you hear that? Once again, you make a sale. The ATF gets wind of it. Hey, you sold this gun to Mr. Brown over here, and you didn't run a background check on him. You were selling guns without a license. You're now a gun trafficker. No, I'm not a gun trafficker. Oh, well, according to our rules, the new ones, you are. Now, we'll cut you a break if you go ahead and apply for a license and pay a small fine of $25,000 and inventory every one of your guns, and we will we'll wink at you and turn our back and just don't do it again, okay? And by the way, you're now going to become an informant, and you're going to route out other people who do exactly what you do. That is how they operate. That is what they will do, I promise you. So even a single firearm transaction may be sufficient to require a license, and there's the admission right from the mouth of a little Bolshevik himself. So who is now required to do a background check? According to the article, the new standard draws the line at those who sell predominantly to earn a profit, quote unquote. Okay, well, let's say you sell one or more of your firearms and make more than what you paid for them. Well, then you sold them predominantly to earn a profit. Okay, what about that old 22 that your great-grandpa paid $12 for, spanking brand new, back in 1932, and it's now a collector's item because it's never been fired, and it's worth $10,000. Well, according to the wording in this illegal rule change, you'd better not sell it for more than $12. They don't care. If it's $10,000, you need a license if you're predominantly earning a profit. The article continues. It provides, quote unquote, listen to this, key indicators. And these key indicators pop up throughout this. Key indicators as examples. If a gun seller uses merchant services like a credit card machine, well, that's a key indicator. By the way, a lot of people have those kind of things, even on their phone, on their bank app, like I do. So I can take payments for firearms classes and individual training sessions. So I guess that means that if I sell one of my personal firearms and I also ping one of the key indicators, I'm an unlicensed dealer. Now, I can either face a stiff fine and 10 years in prison, or I can go ahead and register all of my guns with the ATF and get a license from them and become an informant, more than likely they'll try to pressure me to do. Also, another key indicator, frequently rents space at a gun show. Well, a lot of gun and knife collectors do exactly that, and they have been doing it for decades, but now that's a key indicator that you're part of the black market and you're an unlicensed dealer. Or repetitively acquires and sells firearms. You know, like gun and knife collectors who set up tables at gun shows. That person is considered a dealer and must now do background checks. The new rule does provide exceptions. Bona fide collectors can sell off some of their inventory, for example. Guns can be given as gifts to family members. Personal sales tied to a hobby like hunting or sport shooting are carved out in the rules. Really? You want to bet? You want to put money on that? Because we're going to be talking about the Malinowski family shortly, and I can prove that's a lie. It's not true. They continue, the rules for gun dealers have always applied to those who are, quote unquote, engaged in the business. The question has been what that phrase means. The former standard defined a dealer as someone who sold for profit and livelihood. Gun control groups and Democrats, pretty much being redundant there, have called for the government to define, quote unquote, engaged in the business by the number of sales, such as 5. In a year. I have friends who constantly barter, trade, sell firearms amongst themselves, and they definitely do more than 5 per year. I guess you think they're gun traffickers now? Yeah, they're selling guns that might end up in the black market. Instead, officials settled on the predominantly earns a profit language. That means you sell one gun for more than what you paid for it, you've earned a profit. You're a gun dealer. But they also added specific examples that help identify dealers. Like what? You know, since most conservatives who heard about this oppose these new rules, of course, Stevie Dettelbach, he decided to make a statement to assure everybody with his words of love and comfort. And here's his statement. This doesn't infringe on your Second Amendment rights. Okay, you want to offer some proof of that? Or just make that blanket statement and we're supposed to accept it from you because you're such a constitutional expert. Licensed dealers are already playing by the rules, he said. And yet you've been revoking hundreds of gun dealers' licenses under Biden who were playing by your dadgum rules. He said they keep transaction records, they use serial numbers, they work with the ATF to report suspicious activity, nor does every person who sells a gun need a license. I'm going to challenge that. Only Congress can require universal background checks, as President and Vice President have asked them to do. And that came from the mouth of little Stevie Dettelbach, who has willfully and illegally bypassed Congress on multiple occasions with so-called rule changes that illegally bear the force of law. Last week, the ATF issued a firearm tracking report that showed more than 68,000 guns came through unlicensed dealers over a five-year period. Listen to this. That represented more than half of the illegally trafficked guns nationwide. Now, did you catch that? They're saying that guns sold by these people that sell a few of their guns, their private personal guns, or collect curio and relics and maybe trade with other collectors, that means that they're part of the illegal trafficking network. This is what they said in this. Listen again. That 68,000 guns number represented more than half of the illegally trafficked guns nationwide. That is saying and including all of these private sales as illegally trafficked guns. Do you see what they're doing with the semantics? Yes, they're weaponizing them. They've been weaponizing the English language for some time now and twisting rules and things like that. So privately sold guns are lumped together with trafficked guns. And it says they were tied to 368 shooting cases, Mr. Dettelbach said. Okay, what kind of shooting cases? Murders, or were they self-defense shootings? You realize all of the gun deaths in America, that roughly, I think close to half of them are defensive killings. But since it's one person killing another person, it's lumped in as a homicide. They've always kept the records like that. One man killing another man, whether it's in self-defense or in anger, it was lumped as a homicide. So you're saying these 368 shooting cases, well, what were they, Stevie? Were they self-defense shootings or were they illegal shootings, murders, things like that? Now, of course, Mr. Larry Keene had something to say about that, and I really appreciate Mr. Keene coming out with some of his strongly worded statements. Matter of fact, go to the NSSF, National Shooting Sports Foundation, webpage, and you can see his complete statement there. I'm only going to give a portion of it here for time's sake. He said the ATF has no authority to improve on what Congress enacted or to create new crimes with rules that are not enacted by Congress. An agency may not rewrite statutory terms or fill in what the agency considers to be gaps or loopholes in the statute. Amen. But you know what's really sad? As America has become accustomed to yielding to these things and hoping that we can just turn it around with the courts. People, I'm for sending strongly worded statements, and I mean from all 110 million of us here in America who own firearms. That would be great if you all would. But even from a few million, to tell them, you guys, not sure who you think you are, but you're overstepping yourself in a big, bad way. Do you really want to kick this hornet's nest? Because we will fight you. And, proof that American citizens will fight back against you, I think you guys learned out there at Waco. Be right back with more Shooting Straight right after these fine messages from the finest sponsors on planet Earth.
Hey guys, let me tell you what, Counter-Strike Tactical is the absolute best little gun store in Melbourne and proud sponsors of the Shooting Straight radio podcast. Come visit us at 1008 Strawbridge Avenue and see the custom AR builds by Anthony Vallejo, owner and combat veteran, plus AK-47s, handguns, ammo, tactical rifle accessories, and much more. So stop in and see us, 1008 Strawbridge Avenue, and visit the best little gun store in Melbourne. Or give us a call, 321-499-4949. Tell Anthony that Roy sent you. We can't wait to see you.
As many of you know, I, your host, am a firearms instructor, and I run all of my firearms training business through shootingclasses.com because it simply doesn't make sense to try to do it all myself. With automated roster creation when students sign up, payment processing, and automated emailing to your students reminding them of the class date and time, it simply doesn't make sense to try to do all of that by yourself. Get signed up with shootingclasses.com today and take a big load off yourself. Shootingclasses.com.
WJS Guns in North Merritt Island is where you need to go for your firearms, ammunition, accessories, holsters, body armor, fishing tackle, and much more. WJS Guns also offers blue label pricing for law enforcement officers on multiple firearms brands. And above all, WJS Guns offers friendly, exceptional service to everyone, especially to us ladies and first-time gun buyers. For more information, check them out at WJSGuns.com and always tell them Roy sent you.
Welcome back to the program. We've been talking about this new rule change by the ATF, this illegal rule change by the Justice Department using the ATF. And they are saying that if you sell guns privately, you are a gun trafficker. That's essentially the gist of everything we talked about in the first portion of the program. Now, recently there was an incident in Arkansas, in Little Rock. And the BATF, and as John Botch put in his article, he said the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, and really big fires, because they also include arson in there, they decided to roll in really heavy on the residence of Mr. Malinowski, Mr. Brian Malinowski. And Mr. Malinowski was a very respected member of the community there in Little Rock, Arkansas. He was looked up to. There was nothing about this man that would make you think he was dangerous to society. And what happened was 10 vehicles full of ATF agents rolled up about an hour before daybreak and put tape over his security camera so they couldn't see him, so he couldn't see them. And then they busted his door open. And when Mr. Malinowski came out to see what was going on, well, let's read about that. It says that first let's tell the story about how he came to be on the ATF's radar. And this is from an article by John Botch from April 9th. He said, Mr. Malinowski came onto the radar of the BATFE because he enjoyed collecting firearms as a hobby. What did they say in the article in the first half of the program? Oh, no, you guys are okay. If it's just a hobby and collecting, you're okay. Listen. Part of collecting, of course, is selling specimens, and Brian Malinowski didn't have a license to sell guns. Why didn't Malinowski have a license? Probably because he was following the law and because he wasn't in the business of selling firearms. And it wasn't primarily firearms. It was coins and other things. I'll keep reading. The South Arkansas Reckoning reprinted a statement and video from the attorneys of Malinowski's family. ABC7 Little Rock had the videos on YouTube. And a matter of fact, there's links to them on this article, and you'll find that at the Truth About Guns website. And the narration is, video released today from a neighbor's camera shows agents arriving on March 19th in 10 separate vehicles. 10 vehicles full of agents. Okay, I assume at least 4 agents per vehicle. All right, so you've got 40 heavily armed agents for this man. Why? Why do you think this was necessary? He said, you can see in a second recording from the Malinowski doorbell camera, you can see agents donning full tactical gear and holding automatic rifles in a ready position, taping over the lens of the doorbell camera, which ended that video record. Brian Malinowski was the executive director of the Little Rock Airport. He was married for 25 years to his wife, Mayor Malinowski. They lived in West Little Rock. He enjoyed collecting coins and firearms. He was a pilot with multiple ratings. He was also a voracious reader. As part of his hobby of collecting, buying, and selling various items, Brian occasionally, set up a table at local gun shows. Well, that was one of the key indicators. Remember that? First part of the program, that was one of the key indicators. Oh, you set up a table occasionally at gun shows, where he mainly displayed guns and coins. In Arkansas, a private seller may legally sell a firearm without holding a federal firearms license and without filling out forms or conducting background checks. A private seller may do so until such time they cross a subjectively defined barrier, becoming a quote-unquote person engaged in the business of selling firearms. As stated, there is no bright line test. It is a subjective test. A citizen's ability to sell firearms without a license is sometimes referred to as the gun show loophole. There it is. There are compelling arguments for and against closing the so-called gun show loophole, but gun show loophole bills have been introduced in Congress many times over the past 25 years, but none have passed. Last year, ATF proposed new regulations to effectively tighten that loophole. Again, I say there's no such thing. According to the search warrant affidavit in this case, ATF suspected Brian Malinowski of meeting at least parts of their subjective definition of a person engaged in the business of selling firearms. Mr. Malinowski's family and close friends don't think he had any inkling the ATF was concerned about his gun show sales. They are all confident he would never have jeopardized his career in airport management by knowingly flaunting a regulation pertaining to his weekend hobby. Remember, they said hobbyists were exempt. This appears to be the entirety of his subjected criminal activity, the suspicion he had met subjective standards triggering the need to buy a $200 FFL, therefore making subsequent sales illegal. He was suspected of being outside the gun show loophole. Listen, the ATF surveilled Brian for multiple days. They followed him in cars. They watched him at gun shows and even purchased firearms from him. They placed a tracking device on his vehicle and then obtained a warrant to search his car and phone. They executed that warrant at 6 a.m. on March 19th, 45 minutes before first light, and over 1 hour before sunrise. At this stage, there is no publicly available evidence showing whether agents knocked on the door or announced their presence, adequately identifying themselves. Brian's wife only heard loud banging and immediately followed by the crash of the front door being busted open. Absent exigent circumstances, that is the danger of losing evidence, drugs down the toilet, or the propensity for violence or escape, case law requires law enforcement officers to give dwelling occupants a reasonable time to come to the door and let them in. But you're dealing with the ATF, who thinks they're above the law. Most of them have a God complex, and most of them love kicking people's doors in. Yes, as a matter of fact, I remember seeing a criminal being interviewed one time. I think it was on 60 Minutes. And he talked about how much he enjoyed total home takeovers and home invasions, to where you go in quick and you subdue everybody in the house. And he said, flat out, "I'm addicted to that. Man, you want to talk about power." Well, I think some of these agents do also. And I fear a lot of other people in various SWAT teams and things at other agencies and departments might do it too. They get off on the adrenaline rush. And so they keep doing it. And they keep pressing. I don't like no-knock raids at all. It unreasonably endangers the family. There are too many instances where people have been killed or mistakenly shot, or sometimes shot again after they've been shot a couple of times mistakenly to make sure they didn't have a story to tell. Something like that happened recently where a guy was surrendering, walking out the door to his trailer, and the sheriff's deputies literally just opened up on him. He somehow survived and is now suing the crap out of them. But I hate these no-knock things. You bust into another man's castle, and you take over his castle, and you put his entire family under your subjection, and you rob him of his dignity. I despise that. You have no business doing that to anybody. There's always another way to take someone down. You don't have to bust their house up and basically embarrass them and defy them in front of their own family. It sickens me because, number one, these agents went in there perfectly ready to kill Brian Malinowski. Oh, come on now, Royce. You can't say that. You weren't there. Oh, okay. Listen, when you kick someone's door in and you got armed and you're all armed with automatic weapons and the safeties are off, by the way, when they go in, what are you doing with those guns other than making them at your disposal if in the event the homeowner comes out with a firearm? And then you can claim self-defense after you shoot the man whose door you just kicked in. Yes, this sickens me. So, Brian Malinowski was asleep but rose to the sound of the door crashing and located a firearm. His wife believes the noise must have been intruders, and she fully believes her husband thought the same. He loaded a magazine into a pistol and emerged from the master bedroom into a hallway leading indirectly to the front entryway. He reached a corner in the hall and looked around it to see several unidentifiable figures already several steps inside his home. By the way, these guys come in with flashlights attached to their rifles. You know what they're doing with them? They're trying to blind any prospective targets. Well, guess what? When someone is blinded by a flashlight and you're in their home, they don't really have any good reason to think that, oh, this must be because I've been selling guns at gun shows and I am a criminal and I deserve this kind of treatment and I'm going to go ahead and roll over and put my hands behind my back. No, I'm going to think these guys are intruders and need to be shot repeatedly in the face. The article continues, we do not know who shot first, but it appears that Brian shot approximately three times at a decidedly low angle, probably at the feet of the intruders who were roughly 30 feet away. Agents immediately returned fire and struck him at least once in the head, causing massive injury to his skull and brain. Listen to this next part. It's bad enough that they just killed her husband right in front of her, but then Mrs. Malinowski, wearing thin night clothes, was rough-handed out of the house in 34-degree weather, and she was shoved into the back seat of a police car. And they prohibited her from going to a neighbor's home for clothing or to use the bathroom, listen, for as many as 4 or 5 hours. Hours, people, hours. They tortured this woman. They shot her husband in front of her and then stuffed her half naked into a police car, shivering in a 34-degree weather. I tell you what, every cotton picking, stinking one of you agents involved in this need to be shot. This is disgusting. You need to be arrested. You need to be charged with treason. You need to be charged with murder. Every one of you that were out there on scene that day, you are all part and parcel. You are all co-conspirators after the fact, as far as I'm concerned, before and after the fact. You people make me sick. This was unnecessary. Why was this so necessary? You knew he wasn't dangerous. You've been watching him. You've been tailing him. You've been gathering intel on him. And you feel that you had to kick his door in and to teach him a lesson about ever messing with the ATF, shoot him in the face when he decides to defend his home, which anybody else would do. Oh, not just that, but now we're going to make your wife shiver out in 34-degree weather, wearing flimsy night clothes, won't let her use the bathroom, won't let her go next door for a little bit more clothing to cover herself up. You people suck as human beings. You are worthless. I tell you what, your parents should be arrested for contaminating the human race with you. You are no better than the gangbangers and all the other criminals out there. You're no better than the drug cartels, as far as I'm concerned. You scumbags. The Malinowski family believes the already known facts amply demonstrate ATF's tactics on March 19th were reckless and incompetent and completely unnecessary. Criminal investigators should determine with precision whether the agents knocked, whether they announced their presence, identify and purpose, and whether they announced their presence, their identity and purpose, and whether they waited a responsible and reasonable amount of time before they breached. Again, this is why I despise no-knock warrants. You got entry teams purposely come in and create chaos and confusion in someone's home and then demand or expect perfect compliance from sleepy residents who have no idea who the violent intruders are that just destroyed their front door and are all screaming and yelling simultaneously. Yeah. These are essentially home invasions committed by men with badges. Yeah, no offense to my LEO friends, but I'm firmly of the opinion that if you get shot during such an invasion, you really cannot hold that against the homeowner or the resident. You created the situation, you violated a man's home, you forced them to act, they're going on limited intelligence because you came in fast and furious and kicked their door in, you're screaming and yelling, and expect them to be able to discern every word you're saying. You are scumbags. You force them to act. You are in his home. How in the heck do you expect them to react? How would you react if such an invasion took place in your home, all of you agents? You scumbags should know this from experience after the warm reception you received out there at Waco. But no, I guess you didn't learn your lesson. What's worse is the indignity you scumbags inflicted upon his wife after you murdered her. Frankly, I already said it. I'm probably not going to say it again, but I tell you what, you put yourselves on death's ground when you do that. You shouldn't hold a homeowner responsible. I'm sorry. If you come screaming and barging into my home and cursing and yelling, and I see flashlights moving everywhere, I'm not going to presume you're the cops. Besides, there have been too many home invasions that have taken place by people pretending to be cops. The article continues. The Malinowski home is almost 3,000 square feet. It was 6 a.m. Mr. Malinowski apparently had no idea he was under law enforcement scrutiny. The justification for the search involves suspicion of a crime carrying a puny 0 to 6 month U.S. sentencing guideline range with typically results in a sentence of probation or more often probation ending with complete dismissal via pretrial diversion. This is what you killed a man over. I wonder if you scumbags actually got to high-fiving yourselves after it was all over, like you just completed a successful mission. Shooting's too good for you. You deserve to be hanged as the filthy, treasonous criminals that you are. The article continues. After the Breonna Taylor shooting in 2020, under similar circumstances, President Biden issued Executive Order 14074, directing the implementation of certain policies, including restriction on no-knock searches and requirements that federal agents utilize body-worn cameras, or BWCs, when executing warrants. Deputy Attorney General Monaco issued a memo on 6-7-2021, permitting the use of BWCs when federal agents execute search warrants. And on 9-13-2021, she issued a separate memo regarding chokeholds and restricting the use of no-knock warrants. On 6-2-2022, ATF issued policies mandating the use of BWCs during pre-planned execution of search warrants for all federal agents. The accompanying policy, also for task force officers, establishes a presumption of expedited release to the public of BWC recordings involved death as soon as practical. In spite of requests to ATF on behalf of the Malinowski family, no body-worn camera recordings have been released. ATF has made no public statement since the March 19th shooting of Brian Malinowski, though it wouldn't be unusual for ATF to convene a press conference to put the public at ease and explain what happened and why it was necessary. It was necessary for us to kill this man. You see, he was an unlicensed gun dealer, because that's how they portrayed him in the statements after the action. They portrayed him as someone who was illegally augmenting the underground black market. My, my, my. You know what's funny? There's a search warrant that was the search warrant affidavit regarding Mr. Brian Malinowski. He was never accused of knowingly selling any gun to anyone he should not have. So why exactly, again, did you kick his door in and kill him when he responded the same way any other American would do? Wow. This is a lot taken. I'm almost gobsmacked here because so many things are just coming to realization as I'm reading this. It wouldn't surprise me that maybe they mistakenly were forced into killing him. Maybe. It may be they were trying to defend themselves, but, you know, they set that stage. They put themselves there. I mean, how? For what? For what? I don't understand this. That they had to respond so heavily. Unless the only way this makes sense is that they were trying to make an example out of him and it just went awry. Now, I feel that might be what the case was. I think they wanted to make a very prominent case out of Mr. Malinowski, and they wanted to show themselves going in and raiding him. This guy was a black market dealer. We shut him down, and we made the public safe. Oops, well, we had to kill him. Yeah. Well, he pointed a gun at us. You shouldn't do that when people are kicking your door in and screaming and yelling and flashing lights around the place. And just because you woke up and don't know what's going on, you shouldn't grab a gun. You should just assume it's the cops and come out and lay down with your hands behind your back and all would be well. Just comply or you will die. That's what happened here, I believe. They were trying to make a trophy out of Mr. Malinowski. Yep, just like they tried to do out of Larry Vickers and are doing pretty much, just like they've done to other people. They want to make high-profile people into examples that you don't mess with the ATF, and we tell you you need a license, you dadgum well better get you a license, so you better comply. Comply, and we'll protect you with our licensing. Protect me from what? What we'll do to you if you're not licensed. That's what happened here. People, are you paying attention yet? The government has us in a pincer movement, and they're trying to shut us down by hook or by crook. They're trying to dry up the supply of firearms, and this is one way to do it in this particular fashion. They want to dry up our supply of guns and ammo. And again, I'm going to remind you, there's only one reason someone wants to disarm you, and that's to make you weaker than them. Catch you on the next episode. Stay in contact with your reps. Matter of fact, call your reps and tell them you hold these scumbags accountable that murdered Mr. Malinowski. At a minimum, it's manslaughter. And tell them you want to see justice for Mr. Malinowski and for Mrs. Malinowski. And I hope Mrs. Malinowski files a mile-high, multi-billion-dollar suit against the entire federal government with the DOJ and the ATF in a place of prominence as defendants. Never forget, incoming rounds always have the right of way. Royce out.